fellow Freedom fans. You're listening to Preservative Talk Radio, brought to you by Freedom Ministries, where we confront the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Find out more at PreservativeTalkRadio.com. Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here with a special guest today. Very important guest. Interesting things are happening. And I actually called him, asked him to interview over a particular subject matter, but as I was doing some homework about all the things that Michael Connolly is involved, I discovered some very interesting things that are happening that are nationally or national news worthy, and so it's quite exciting doing a review. Michael Connolly, thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'll tell you what really sparks my interest about your illustrious career is the time you've spent in law. And though you, it appears that you're not actively practicing as somebody's defense lawyer or some sort like that, or litigator in that respect, you are still very actively involved with the United States Justice Foundation. Could you please tell me about that United States Justice Foundation?
Well, the Justice Foundation was formed about 37 years ago, and I was one of the people that helped organize it. And then Gary Creep ran this foundation very well as executive director. And he was elected judge recently in California. Well, I have been working as a consultant, even though I had retired from practice of law. They asked me to reactivate my law license, which I have done. I have enrolled in various federal courts around the country. And I'm supervising all the attorneys that we utilize to file briefs in the courts. We just filed two briefs in the Supreme Court. We filed one in a court of appeals on the HHS religious mandate, and we're filing another one next week. I'm also working aggressively on the gun control issue, particularly the executive orders issued by Obama. The Justice Foundation has a history of, a long and illustrious history, of representing people on constitutional issues, and we do this for free. We get donations to support our organization. We do not charge our clients anything. We don't get involved in cases involving damages or anything like that. We work strictly on constitutional issues, and we are aggressively going to be challenging Obama on his violation of the separation of powers, his violation of his oath of office by not supporting the Constitution, and his bypassing of Congress, among other things, to implement his personal agenda, which, of course, is a socialist agenda. So that's what the Justice Foundation is doing, and people can, we're in the process of updating our website and putting a lot of information on there, including some articles I've written for my blog on constitutional law. So if people are interested in what we're doing or interested in donating to us to help us, the site is usjf.net.
And
it's a great organization. Gary Creep has done a great job with it, and I hope I can fill his shoes.
Well, I went to usjf.net today. I found some articles that you had written. I'd scrolled through the various articles, and they were very good. I will say that the article that you wrote that I read was a very easy read. You addressed the issue of what was going on with the National Defense Authorization Act and is essentially undermining those protections for the sake of habeas corpus. But what I was really impressed was how you really took that, what to some would be a very heady issue, and you made it, it was very, very readable, very understandable. So I know that and we're going to talk about a book that one of your several books is, I was quite impressed that you were able to communicate it in such a way that I think anybody would have gotten just tons out of it.
Well, I appreciate that. Actually, the NDAA is one of the cases that the Justice Foundation has been involved in. We challenged, joined with other plaintiffs and other foundation, legal foundations, to challenge that part of the NDAA that allows the president to have an American arrested on U.S. soil by the military and held indefinitely without trial, without even charges being filed. A federal judge agreed with us and struck down that as unconstitutional and issued an injunction against its enforcement. Unfortunately, that was reversed on the court by a court of appeals. So we are now in the process of trying to get that into the U.S. Supreme Court. And yep. So that's just one of the things we're working on.
And just because it's an important matter, the one thing that you pointed out that I wasn't really cognizant, you know, I didn't have in the front of my brain, was the fact that they say, well, this is not required against U.S. citizens. But you pointed out, yeah, it's not required. In other words, nobody's forcing the president to do this against U.S. citizens, but it was implied in even that the fact that they said that, it's implied that he's free to do it if he feels like it.
Absolutely. It's the same type of language that was in the drone memorandum that was released. It's very vague, but in general terms, it says the president is in charge. He can order anybody arrested for any reason, even if he just because he doesn't like them. Supposedly, if he decides they have any connection to terrorists, they know any terrorists, they've ever talked to any terrorists, even if they don't, even if they fall in the category of potential domestic terrorists. And, of course, we know Japan, Janet Napolitano, when she first took over as DHS secretary, issued this memorandum to all law enforcement officials listing people as potential domestic terrorists who believed in the right to life, who believed in the Second Amendment, returning veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq, people who hoard more than 7 days' supply of food and water. You know, all kinds of people out there, Americans, are listed by her as potential terrorists, and this sets them up for Obama to take action against them. That's why the NDAA language and the language in the drone memorandum is so dangerous.
And I'm kicking in here. And just so you know, the sound is a little bit different here. That is a recording that I did with Michael Connelly. And, of course, I made sure I arranged the interview that was convenient for him because he couldn't do a live broadcast with us right now. I'm live here, standing by. I've got my little play button. And the number here is 888-248-2046. Hold off on the calls for a while, 888-248-2046. What he described really happened, that it was something that the Secretary of State or whoever it was, I don't know, Napolitano, I guess she was the one who came out the thing. I thought it was actually somebody else that had come out earlier with this thing, trying to describe terrorists in America. Those that they described could probably describe the majority of people in Tennessee would fit the description. Christian people with deep faith, not all, but most, I would say, you know, majority would consider themselves Christian, patriotic, have some belief that there's an authority structure, a legitimate authority structure, that there we all should be subject to authority, and that starts from God and works its way down to us and our obligations to Him. And because we serve Him and we love one another, we instituted government to protect each other's rights, those right things, those property rights and all those things, and that the government is limited by the chains of the Constitution. That would describe probably the majority of people in Tennessee, in spite of the education that we've been subjecting our children to, because we get tired of fighting, you know? That was something that actually described our listening audience, even those who don't listen to us. So I'm going to continue with this interview here with Michael Connelly. And folks, I'm talking to Michael Connelly. He's the executive director of the United States Justice Foundation. Again, that's Michael Connelly, and the website is usjf.net. Mr. Connelly, did you listen to the State of the Union address or read the text?
I listened to it, and it was hard to do, but I listened to it.
Well, I examined the text. For me, it's better for me if I just read the text without, you know, seeing anything, and it helps me notice things. I noticed there was a time when he said, I'm going to ask Congress to give me the following authority, but if they don't do it, if they don't give me authority, well, I will do this anyway. Do you remember any portion of that speech like that?
Oh, yeah. He talked about the climate change situation, and that's exactly what he said. He pledged that if Congress did not do what he wanted, he would once again violate the Constitution and his oath of office by issuing executive orders to impose his will on the American people. In fact, I wrote an article the next day right after the speech in which I pointed out some of the things that he said. And this is a real problem. He is usurping the separation of powers. In the Constitution, Article 1 gives the powers to the Congress to pass certain legislation, but it's limited power. Article 2 basically says that the president's powers consist of enforcing the laws passed by Congress. It doesn't say he can choose which laws to enforce and which not, but he's done that on immigration. He's done that on the Defense of Marriage Act. And it also certainly does not say that he can make laws on his own. But he's doing that repeatedly with his executive orders. In fact, the executive order he issued the same day he made the speech is on cybersecurity. And I haven't managed to find time to plow through it all yet. But basically what he did was bypass Congress. Because you remember about a year ago, Congress considered a similar legislation and refused to pass it. So this is what Obama's doing. He's taking an oath of office, just like the one I took when I became an Army officer, to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. People don't realize there's actually a criminal statute out there that says if you violate that oath of office, if you do something to harm the Constitution of the United States or to bypass it, then you can be subject to criminal penalties. And here we have a president of the United States who's doing this repeatedly.
Folks, this is David Allen Carmichael on this issue of the day. Yes, it's an issue of the day. I try to address them on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. My number is open now, 888-248-2046. I was speaking with Michael Connolly. We're going to come back with a second portion of that interview, but I want to interject some things into the conversation here. It's important. I'll tell you why we're doing this. My son gave me a compliment about an hour ago. And I'll tell you what, isn't it great when your children rise up to call you blessed and all that kind of stuff? He told me about something he read in the Bible, and he actually commended me. And it had to do with what we're doing here at the Copperhead 1240 Liberty Works Radio Network and this Preservative Talk Radio. Let me quote the Bible. This is what my son cited to me. Surely the Lord does nothing. The Lord God, that would be Jehovah Elohim. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And I'll read it again after I explain why this, what's the context. My son said, Dad, it's very clear that what you're doing, and he was in the context with this radio program and the things that we bring it up in the last couple of weeks, things that are going through the legislature, just kind of slipping through the cracks and slipping right on by, that ultimately threatened the foundation of law that protects you for some good pragmatic moral imperative, an urgent message, an urgent reason. We've got to save ourselves. The sky is falling. This is what my son said with regard to what I'm doing here, what we're doing here. He cited this scripture. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And he said, Dad, if, in so many words, you guys are seeing things that other people aren't seeing. It's there. You can connect the dots, but most people don't get it. But it's very possible and is probable and likely, or whatever words he used, that it's exactly what we're doing, that this is bigger than just us. We're not here for political reasons. We're here for service reasons. So I want you to take note. I want you, hey, when they mention Wesley's Corner on Dallas Hollow Road, I encourage you to go by and stimulate their economy and get that free cup of coffee with the gas and even energy drink, whatever's going to, you know, really invigorate you. Because what we're doing is important, and we continue to do it. I'm going to come back with this interview with Michael Connolly of the United States Justice Foundation, usjf.net. And thank you guys who have been responding. I've been seeing our website hits go way up. Thank you for tuning in to preservativetalkradio.com and those podcasts that are at preservativetalkradio.net. And I'll be right back.